1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he's grateful for how police handled an armed man who tried to threaten him at the state capitol this week. Nate Wegehout has more.
The man was first arrested at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. After posting bail, he returned to the Capitol Square with a rifle around 9 o'clock at night. Governor Evers was not in the Capitol building either time. Evers said that Capitol Police handled the situation well.
The Capitol Police took control of the situation, and so it's over. But, yeah, it's always something that is things you don't want to see happen.
Lawmakers inside the building were not notified of either incident until Thursday morning, but Assembly Speaker Robin Foss said that he too was satisfied with how police handled the situation. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Capitol Police say the suspect's name is Joshua Pleasnik. He's 43 years old and lives in Madison. Social media posts indicate Pleasnik goes by the nickname Taco. Republicans are trying to shut down events like the World Naked Bike Ride in Wisconsin. That's after Madison authorities declined to press charges over a 10-year-old girl's participation this summer. Pictures were posted on Facebook. Jeff Weingand is a Dane County Board supervisor from Sun Prairie. He spoke at a hearing on two state Senate bills yesterday.
I used to love going to the Dane County Farmers Market. I used to love walking around places like the Monona Terrace and State Street. I can no longer do those things with my family for fear of what my children will be exposed to.
The bills seek to make laws covering public nudity and children in particular consistent statewide. The U.S. Agriculture Department is announcing $23 million in award support to support dairy farmers and dairy businesses in the Midwest. Brian Whittakins reports from the World Dairy Expo in Madison.
$7 million of that $23 million has been allocated to Wisconsin. Jenny Lester Moffitt, USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, made the announcement at World Dairy Expo.
Combined for the Midwest will total be about $40 million since 2019 that we've invested here in Midwest production for dairy innovation.
The initiatives support small and mid-sized dairy businesses in the development, production, marketing, and distribution of dairy products. From World Dairy Expo, I'm Brian Winnikins.
It's National Banned Books Week. Every year at this time, librarians and educators get the word out about what books some groups are trying to keep out of the public's hands. Bookstore manager Jennifer Jubenville tells Channel 10 in Duluth that Banned Books Week calls attention to the importance of reading. Books get challenged by people who say their content is obscene, but Jubenville says banned books often have important messages that need to be heard. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. Students and staff at UW-Oshkosh held a walkout to protest layoffs. The university is struggling to make up an $18 million debt. In August, university officials announced they would cut around 200 jobs to help close the gap. Protesters say they are worried about the quality of education due to the cuts, saying they want more state funding for their school and are petitioning for cuts to administrative salaries as opposed to faculty and student worker salaries. Complaints about rats are on the rise in Green Bay. At last night's city council meeting, the public was encouraged to keep reporting rat sightings so city officials can continue to manage the problem. Green Bay has received 129 rat complaints so far this year. The average number of complaints has been about 100 over the last few years. Most of the complaints have come from the city's west side near Lambeau Field. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Chicago Bears finally won a game. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A stunner last night on Thursday Night Football. The Bears beat the Commanders in Washington. Final score, Chicago 40, Washington 20. That snapped a 14-game losing streak for the Bears dating back to last year. About an hour before the kickoff, the team learned of the passing of Hall of Fame linebacker Dick Butkus at the age of 80. Bears head coach Matt Eberflus after the game.
Just got out of the locker room. Guys did a nice job of sticking together. And let me digress for a second. My condolences to the Butkus family. I had several chances to visit with Dick. He's one of my idols growing up, being a linebacker, and we had some good talks.
Wide receiver DJ Moore with three touchdowns, 230 yards receiving, the second most in a game in Bears franchise history. in Green Bay. The Packers have practice today and tomorrow before flying to Las Vegas to face the Raiders on Monday Night Football. The Packers trying to figure out how to shut down now Raiders wide receiver Davante Adams. I talked to defensive back Jaire Alexander.
I mean, you know, it'll feel good. It'll feel better with interception. You know?
Head coach Matt LaFleur.
I don't know if there's a lot to help against a player of that caliber. If he's not the best, he is certainly right there.
College football, the Badgers host the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Kickoff at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning in Madison. Then next, the Badgers will face Iowa, followed by Illinois and Ohio State. Head coach Luke Fickell.
You know, we've got a stretch here. Nobody wants to talk about the stretch, right? We want to talk about, you know, what's coming up on Saturday, but this is the time, this is the stretch that we've got to make sure we're moving forward and doing the things that are going to give us a chance to be successful, not just this weekend, but continue to push forward for the next 8 weeks.
Baseball, the Brewers cleaning out the clubhouse, some for perhaps the last time, like pitcher Corbin Burns.
Just feel bad for all these guys that, you know, worked their butt off for all season, but and not even this season for the years just to get to this point.
That's Brewers pitcher Corbin Burns. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning, Chief Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. We made it to Friday.
Yeah, we did, man, because, you know, my co-host is here, and it's always good to see him. It's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Well, good morning. We were just tripping down nostalgia lane, you know, Dick Butkus dying. Dick Butkus was a name both you and I remember well from our youth and watching football and then thinking about all the old names.
You know, I was just thinking, man, you know, we've been around the block a couple times.
Yeah, getting dizzy.
You know, we're talking about Y.A. Tittle. We're talking about one of the greatest photographs.
Yeah.
It was either Time or Life magazine where the old guy was on both knees, helmet was off, blood was streaming down the side of
the head. Yeah, the playoff, famous dirt, you know, and the playoff games back then were all outside.
Oh.
And they were all in
freezing cold.
Freezing, terrible weather. That one was in like almost freezing mud.
Yeah. And they did
in the polo grounds, I think.
New York. In the polo grounds, and they didn't have heaters on the sideline.
No.
And those guys were.
That was when men were men.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, we talked about a little bit about Dick Butkus, and all I ever remember about Dick Butkus is his fingers were all twisted the wrong way.
Yeah, he and Ray Nitschke were people you wouldn't ever want to be playing football against.
No, you know, and after all the years, they could never straighten their fingers out. They're all bent and twisted.
Yeah.
It was just a different time, right?
Absolutely.
Those early years of football, some of the greatest years.
Well, you know, he never played for anyone but the Bears. And we say that now like that's an exception. Back then, it was an exception for anyone to play for anything but one team. People didn't get traded much at all.
The
Packers of the 60s were the Packers of the 60s. I can't name anybody to you that we traded for, the Packers traded for in the 60s.
Well, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And it's why, even to this day, I can still probably run down 55% to 60% of the starting Green Bay Packers for a decade.
Right.
Because the Bears the same way, and the Lions the same way.
You know, you got drafted to a team in those days, and that was your career. You were going to play with that team, and teams were teams for a long period of time.
Well, if we go back, then...
Same is true, incidentally, basketball.
And baseball.
You know, you can talk about the Willis Reed Knicks, and you can name them all. You can talk about the Parrish Celtics. You can name the Celtics.
I could name the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Chicago Cubs. It was Lou Brock who fought this and remember and was able to win that battle that created free agency.
Right, right. And from then on, you know, I'm not saying it's worse today the way it is. I mean, it's interesting, and we're all excited about the Bucks. You know, they you know, every year is a playground choose your team kind of situation.
Yeah, I don't like it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. So you end up with something new and different every year, and you kind of wonder what's going to come out of the box.
Yeah, well, so I just have never liked the putting together of the greatest teams. It used to be that. And Giannis was one who early on did not want to have anything to do with that. He used to say, you know, I clearly want to stay where I am and challenge that. But sooner or later, you come to a point where it gets to a point where those super teams are just that. And one guy like Giannis, one superstar on the team, is not going to be able to do anything with teams that have three or four great superstars.
Well, and payrolls. I mean, the whole the world of sport is clearly a business. Jrue Holiday was such a good person, loved Milwaukee. Milwaukee loved him. So you trade someone like that, and that's proof that it's a business. You know, your every year is a business.
His wife was in a recent article, heartbroken.
Yeah,
about leaving Milwaukee. I mean, they had really planned to spend the remainder of their years in Milwaukee. Philanthropically, they were doing a lot of things in the city.
Mm-hmm.
The city embraced them, but, you know.
She was an Olympic, or at least on the national soccer team.
Absolutely.
An athletic star.
But they were doing so many things in the community. Yeah. And, you know, I guess you can say, well, they don't have to, you know,
move
but. Yeah. You know, there's now Boston.
But as she was describing it, they have a family, they have kids. You know, if you don't live in the city in which you play, you don't see your family
right.
at all.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's just it's a necessity if you want to stay with your family.
But I want to get here, Sandy. I got a son that lives in Arizona. and I've been not, you know, wanting to be anywhere near Arizona for the last 6 months.
You woke up this morning thinking about Arizona, did you? You know, it's still sunny and nice out here, but it is 51 degrees.
We know it's coming, right?
Yeah.
And does it get harder for us as we get older to deal with this?
I don't know. To me, autumn is the best time.
No, not autumn. I'm talking
about
what's coming
cold,
after autumn.
Cold weather?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think... I don't know, but I refuse to admit it.
Yeah, and shouldn't put the cart before the horse. It's autumn, and autumn is not going to be 50. Autumn shouldn't be 50 early autumn. It should be 60.
Well, it's going to be. We can't really. I don't think Milwaukeeans can complain about weather for the last couple of years.
No. And even the winter hasn't been so bad. But anyway. Let's get down to business, Sandy.
We have business?
Well, yeah, man. I was looking at the Marquette poll, and Joe Biden and Donald Trump are locked in almost a dead heat. And I know the polls are whatever they are, you know, but it's hard for me to even fathom.
Well, you know what?
How can that be?
I don't know, because, you know, I was reading what General Kelly was saying. He was the guy who was the longest acting chief of staff to Trump.
Right.
What he was saying about Trump. What Cassidy Hutchinson was saying about Trump. What William Barr says about Trump. What Mark Miley says about Trump.
These are all people who were in it with him.
These are all people who were appointed by Trump, who served with Trump, who were up close and personal with Trump. Who are going out of their way to warn America, not just talking about it, but feeling a compulsion to warn America about the dangers that are involved with the election of someone like Trump. John Kelly's last words were, "God save us."
Yeah.
You know, and so I have a great deal of trouble now. I should think people who are even thinking about backing Trump should look at all these people, because it's, you know, two people, okay, you know, he can argue that, oh, these are just, you know, bad eggs, people who have it in for me, Donald Trump. But everybody who you've ever dealt with just about in the history of your administration comes forward now and says, oh, my God, do not elect this person. Oh, my God, this person is a danger to our Constitution. Oh, my God, this person is only in it for himself. You know, and if they want to be badgered by Trump into saying, yeah, but this is just a bad egg, this is just someone who has it in for Trump, they should ask themselves, what kind of a conspiracy is it that everybody is in agreement about this, you know?
Sandy, that's what frightens me. It frightens me that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are locked into dead heats. And General Miley, I was reading this the other day, where he contacted China and other, yeah, because he knew the man. He was fearful that the guy was going to.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, Miley did it on behalf of the Pentagon.
Yes.
On behalf of the administration outside of Trump. They felt a need to at least reach out to China and say, hey, China, don't do anything crazy because this is not going to happen. You know, the things you're worried about, not going to happen.
Because this guy.
Yeah.
We know it's kind of out there.
Right.
But Sandy, I just, for the life of me, here he is, and you're watching him, and he's making all sorts of threats. This man is running for president of the United States. Well, he's publicly making threats.
Well, here's my message to Joe Biden. You've done
the Democrats.
And the Democrats. You've done a good job. This administration has done a good job. You've had a great career, but when you see polls like that, it's a fact.
The Democrats have to do something.
It's a fact you can't deny, and it's a fact you ought to do something about, which is you need to step aside so that whoever steps into your shoes is not in a deadlock with Donald Trump. Because my belief is that Joe Biden's age and whatever the other issues are the only reason that someone like Donald Trump could be running head-to-head or even ahead of the incumbent president.
You know, Sandy, I have to, again, you know, implore the people who support Donald Trump before it's too late, and which is what even Nikki Haley, yeah, even Mike Pence,
yeah,
even these people who stuck with him through thick and thin are saying, not this time. What are people seeing? Well, they're saying, well, the economy is in bad shape. Okay. So you think Donald Trump is the guy that's going to fix all? He's not even concerned about the economy. If he gets reelected, Sandy, the furthest thing from his mind is fixing the economy.
No, what's going to happen is that he's going to exorcise the demons that he sees in government. It's going to be all about personal power, all about that, exercising it, flexing his muscle, you know, and. It worries me because the emptiness of the policies that are being argued for by the Republicans gives them nothing to arm themselves against somebody who's just a cult leader, okay? And, you know, if I heard Jim Jordan say he's there for the Second Amendment. This is what Trump was saying. He's there for the Second Amendment. He's there, you know, the Second Amendment, okay. People think it's important, but it's not solving any problem for Tom, Dick, and Mary.
Yeah, I got to get your hold of thought. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789.
You uncorked me there.
No, I understand why. And we're going to come back to it after the break. We'll be right back. So.
And the mayor.
I want to talk about the two of you, and what I love the most about it is the excitement for Green Bay. You guys, both of you, have a passion for our area. When you talk about the local events, you're not just talking about, hey, it's at this location at this time. Like, you know, oh, there's this race that they do, or they do this cake thing. Like, you know it so well, and I love the energy that you bring to this show.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
It's Wednesdays. That means Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line and in full effect?
I think that the caller is right to be very suspicious. So we need to kind of hold both thoughts at once. Let's see if there's something there about Robin Voss being afraid and backing down, but let's be prepared for the idea this is all a ruse.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 58. Winds out of the west, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Overcast skies. Tonight, scattered rain showers likely. Lows level off around 40. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 54. Dry with temperatures well below average Sunday and Monday, and highs in the low 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 46.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Hey.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, it is mind-blowing to me that, and frightening, when I saw the
Marquette poll.
Marquette poll. And polls are polls.
Yeah.
But that there are that many people in this country that disavow everything they see with Donald Trump.
Well,
and then they say, that's my guy. I want him to be the president of the United States. That's something's not right with that.
Well, they're ignoring dire warnings from many, many people who were up close and personal, know Donald Trump the person as well as Donald Trump the president, and are warning America, no, not this guy. This isn't, all those warnings are not about policies. They're about the dangers associated with electing somebody who is as without anchor, unanchored with respect to policies, and is basically only about achieving power. And what they all express the same thing, which is they're worried about the Constitution. You know, they're worried about somebody becoming president who has total disregard for the rule of law and the Constitution, and that is a very dangerous thing. And so, you know, I think, rather than try and point out, yes, did he appoint some Supreme Court justices that pleased conservatives? Yes. Did he do anything else during his administration? Not really. He talked about the wall. He made all kinds of promises. But basically what he did is he tried to develop Trump, the brand, into something that could become an autocratic leader of this country.
Well, you know, Sandy, to say Joe Biden's too old. Joe Biden's too old.
Well, you know, he's
a socialist.
Okay, but everyone knows how old Trump is. Everyone knows how old Biden is. It's all a question of, now we've got facts. We've got polls. And polls are telling us something. And if we believe that Donald Trump should not be elected president, we can, number one, hope that the Republicans nominate someone else so that there isn't a chance that he become president. But also those who might otherwise be deciding they would vote for a Democrat need to consider whether there shouldn't be somebody else who runs on the platform of what the Democrats have done and will do for the country. and develop a policy platform that is independent from personality. Because when Donald Trump's around, the Democrats have to talk about, we have to talk about Donald Trump. We don't talk about solutions for Tom, Dick, and Mary. We don't talk about child daycare, preschool education, education, health care, solving health care problems. You know, and unfortunately, the Republicans seem to have things like the Second Amendment as their primary call, the clarion call, and that's not solving a problem for Tom, Dick, and Mary either.
You know, Sandy, it is... Let's do this. Let's bring CJ on. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I love listening. I hope you gentlemen keep running the Democrat Party's platform because President Trump wasn't my first choice. He maybe isn't my first choice now, but the Republicans, anybody who buys gas or groceries or pays rent, or is worried about our security for our country, they believe in Trump.
Hey, CJ, hold on. Sandy, didn't you just say General Kelly, General Miley?
Yeah.
And CJ says, anybody who's worried about security, well, those guys are in the security business. They're the ones who are saying, not this guy.
Right. You know, I think that the personality, the issue with Donald Trump transcends whatever, you know, if people want to agree with things that happened during administration, I would say most of them were coincidental. But in any case, we've got someone who we have many, many people warning us about, that warning us in ways that are pretty dire. And if we decide to hide our eyes from that and elect him anyway, I think we could be very sorry about the medicine we got. I think there are people in other countries and other times who got behind leaders who turned into horrible nightmares for the country and for the people, even though at the time they were being elected, they were promoting policies that people could embrace. So I think in this particular circumstance, and then also I think the issue of inflation. I think deficits have contributed to inflations, but I think the record on deficits is bipartisan, as we've talked about before, CJ. So, you know, I think that the notion that the current administration's deficits are what have driven the inflation is to only look at a coincidence in time, because the deficits that occurred in the prior 4 years were vastly larger than the deficits that have occurred thus far.
So, CJ, we'll carry you over after the break. But I have to say this. I you say anybody who's worried about food and gas, I'm one of those people. I'm an average guy. But if you say that is more important than having a guy as dangerous as Donald Trump is in the White House, I'd rather deal with the food prices and the gas prices and the inflation than to have a man, Sandy, who is unhinged running the world, right? That's just...
Well, I just think we have so many people who know him well, up close and personal, who aren't just saying, don't elect him. They're warning us about him. And I used to be willing to digest the notion that, okay, he's a guy, he'll get elected. But I am now frightened. I think that the people who knew him well and who are warning us in the loudest possible way, need to be listened to.
All right, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. New jobs numbers out this morning. 336,000 people added to the payrolls last month. The unemployment rate unchanged at 3.8%. A new controversy involving former President Trump. an Australian billionaire and member of Trump's Mar-a-Lago club, Anthony Pratt, telling special counsel Jack Smith that Trump told him secret information about America's nuclear submarines back in 2021. Meanwhile, a new Speaker of the House not yet decided, but could it be Trump?
Donald Trump is throwing his support into this race, endorsing Jim Jordan for Speaker, saying that the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee and founder of the far-right Freedom Caucus has his total and complete endorsement. But Donald Trump now says he would be willing to step into the role temporarily if the party is unable to coalesce around a candidate.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Lawmakers say Trump as Speaker is highly unlikely. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know.
A man is in custody after carjacking a woman and her 4-year-old daughter. Grand Chute police say the 31-year-old woman and her child were in a parking lot in the 4300 block of West Wisconsin around 7:30 p.m. on October 2nd. They were threatened by a 51-year-old man with a knife. The man kidnapped them and drove to various banks, forcing the mother to withdraw money. The woman and her daughter were able to escape in Nina and went to the police. The suspect was taken into custody after a coordinated effort by area police officials. The woman and her daughter were treated for non-life-threatening injuries. The man who created the G logo on Packer helmets has died. John Gordon designed the iconic G while he was an art student at St. Norbert College in the early 60s. He was asked to design a logo that resembled a football by a St. Norbert equipment manager. He passed away Saturday at the age of 83 after struggling with Alzheimer's. Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Show as always. I'm you know, I got a gray beard too and gray hair.
Yeah. This is the early 70s, right?
No, that's 66.
Welcome
back to the early 1966. Yeah, yeah. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we're talking about the fear that is encompassing my thoughts. And Sandy himself is even saying that, you know, there's some danger, inherent danger. What are your thoughts? 844-967-2789. As we wake up this morning and see that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are locked in a dead heat. CJ, go ahead.
Thanks again, Earl. President Trump listened to General Milley when he said, don't go to zero in Afghanistan. So at least he listens to his military advisors, because President Biden didn't. And look at that catastrophe.
CJ, you keep talking about what happened in Afghanistan. Okay? I mean, it's fine. Can we talk about something else?
Well, and I mean, I guess my point about that is that, yes, maybe he listened to General Milley, but General Milley is the person now who's warning America about this person. So I just think, you know, I think the problem is pointing at details rather than looking at the big picture. And looking at the big picture, I just think that we need to, in America, we need to start embracing policies, and we need to start thinking about substance and not people, okay? And so we can, when we just talk about Biden or Trump, we're not talking about policies, we're just talking about people. And when we talk about Trump, we ought to be able to talk about policy, but he doesn't really want to talk about policy. You know, people would have trouble painting a picture of what his policies would be in the future. They certainly wouldn't have painted a picture of him when he got elected of a president who was going to run $7.8 trillion of deficit during his tenure.
In one term.
And I think that what's wrong right now in America is we aren't talking about policies, and we're talking about incidents. We're talking about particular circumstances and not broadly talking about policies. And you know, to have someone like Donald Trump, to have a Republican Party that is so embedded in a personality that when the speakership is up for grabs, who comes forward to volunteer to be the speaker but Donald Trump? So we have a person who's dominating the party, running for president, willing to step forward and be Speaker of the House. I'm confident that he would have a lot of difficulty knowing Robert's Rules of Order and doing the process of being the parliamentarian. I mean, really, do we really want to be fixated in people and not in policy?
Go ahead, CJ.
Policy. How about the border policy? Look at the catastrophe at the border. How about discussing that? Even Democrats are frustrated and pissed off what is going on with the border.
Well, let's talk about the border. I mean, Biden is now letting a wall get constructed in a portion that is having a particular problem. But has the Republican majority of the House of Representatives come forward with any sort of comprehensive plan for solving immigration? I mean, you know, when you solve immigration, what you have to do is you have to make a decision about how many immigrants can America assimilate? What's the policy in terms of gross numbers that we want to assimilate? Then we have to figure out, okay, what process are we going to go through to process the applicants for immigration to this United States? And then how are we going to fund the border wall? You know, you've called in and talked about the 8% across the board cut in the budget that was proposed. That was going to also cut 8% of our border protection, I think.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, that isn't a thoughtful approach to the border. So, you know, I think we can reach agreement. You and I, Earl, the public generally, Democrats, Republicans, we have a problem with immigration. But the question is, what's the solution to it? And, you know, the Trump solution focused solely on the southern border. And on a very short term kind of reactive solution to it, not a long term. His main reaction to it was embedded in and was based upon the COVID crisis that allowed him to issue an executive order. Okay, that which was not something that could extend beyond the time of the COVID crisis. What we need is legislation. What we need is policy. And that's what we need to be talking about. Not the fact that we have a problem, which we do, but what are the proper policies to implement to address the problem? And the president has a limited number of options that he had can exercise by executive order.
He can't do it. Well, yeah, right.
Very limited. And in fact, when the president is Democratic, the Republicans argue against the power of the president to issue executive orders and vice versa. And so what we really need is a bipartisan solution. But if the Republicans really cared about the border, they'd be spending time in Congress right now in the House of Representatives, where they have a majority, passing bills associated with it.
Oh, they care, Sandy. They care. And people are watching it. President Trump had it down to 30,000 illegals a month. It's now 300,000 a month.
Well, you said they care. CJ, just a minute. You said they care, and they say they care. I'm just saying,
where's the policy?
Have they put their ink where their mouth is, and have they developed the policy, proposed policies? You know, Republican President George Bush II tried hard, set up a commission, bipartisan commission comes forward with a bunch of policies. Those policies might well have limited the extent, if they had been acted upon by Congress, might well have limited the extent to which we are currently experiencing this problem, but Congress wouldn't deal with it. And currently Congress won't deal with it. We'll talk about it.
Go ahead, CJ. All right, so
like President Trump said, can I finish one sentence, please? Can I finish one sentence?
That was a sentence. I heard the period at the end of can I finish one sentence. Go ahead.
Really? Okay. President Trump, what would be the first thing you'd do? He said, drill, baby, drill. And that would reduce the prices of gas. Oh,
the price of gas is now?
And he would build the wall. The President Biden's only doing it because he's forced to. Remember, he says, "Do you believe in the wall?" No. Well, you know what?
Okay. So CJ, let me say this to you, man. If building the wall is the answer, that's foolhardy, because people are going to continue to gather at the other side of that wall, because the wall is not the answer. Do we need immigration? Do we need immigrants in the country? Absolutely. There's no question. You keep hearing businesses say we don't have enough workers. So we need to have a comprehensive way of looking at immigration, and building the wall is not that answer. That's a simplistic answer. And that's what Trump has come up with, and that's what people like you keep saying.
It's symbolic.
But it's bigger than that.
It's symbolic. And it's also symbolic to say things like drill, baby, drill. But the fact is that the oil industry today is not complaining about their access to oil reserves. And there is talk now. And, in fact, Biden has opened up drilling in a number of areas. But there isn't currently in America a view that we have a shortage of opportunity for drilling of oil resources. And so it's a symbolic conversation to be had. And it's a symbolic conversation to be had as if it's going to have a significant impact on the price of oil and gas, which is a world price. Okay. And the United States reserves of oil, I think we rank 8th, 9th, 10th in the world in world resources. So we aren't the major impact on the price of oil and gas.
You know, Sandy, one of the issues with us talking about Donald Trump and the fact that Donald Trump could possibly win is that the Democrats themselves need to stop thinking that he can't win. And the Democrats need to be serious about what this is, what this threat is, and stop acting like the ostrich with his head in the sand. The truth of the matter is, look at this and take it seriously, that in the face of all these things, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are still tied. That should send a message. Right, Sandy? I mean, to the Democrats.
My point is that
Do we want to take this risk?
The Democrats ought to focus on two things. A broad array of policies which are good for the country, good for our economy, good for Tom, Dick, and Mary, and the fact that in order to install those policies, they need to win the White House. Right. And winning the White House involves facts like these polls. And as well, facts like the future of the Democratic Party. I mean, if you elect a Joe Biden, he's not the future of the party. Everyone is wondering whether he can survive another term. So, that's like, those are just realities. And it seems like what we in the United States need to start addressing is realities rather than ideologies or symbolism. Okay. And we've gotten all wrapped up in symbolism. Well, the Second Amendment isn't what's really important. It's the symbol that it represents to the people who want to talk about it. The Constitution. When people talk about protecting the Constitution, most of them couldn't even describe the portions of the Constitution they're talking about protecting, but it's symbolic.
All right, let's welcome Pat from Kenosha. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I say that you guys keep spreading this hate about Trump. Trump, his policies worked, and Biden is failing. You got to admit that. He is failing. We are suffering. All of us are suffering because of Biden.
So you think Donald Trump, in your estimation, you think Donald Trump would make a better president today, right?
Yes, I do.
Based on what?
On their policies.
And the policies.
We wouldn't be in a war. We wouldn't be funding a war.
Mm-hmm.
And our gas prices would be still around two and a quarter.
And that's because the president controls. How does the president control gas prices? I don't. I'm mystified when people want to go to the White House to figure out what the price of gas is. That's mystifying to me. Gas is a commodity. That's like saying that the White House controls the price of orange juice.
Yeah. Well, Biden cut off all the drilling from his first day.
Well, drilling is something you don't produce oil and gas from a well overnight. Drilling is something that has a 4, 5, 6, 7 year time horizon on it, and the price of oil and gas went up rather dramatically. But it went up coincident with what was it that happened in the world that was coincident with the price of oil and gas going up? Do you remember?
No, tell me.
Well, the war in Ukraine was a significant impact. A very significant impact. And so, the world price of oil and gas is what has an effect on the price of oil and gas in the United States.
So, Sandy, you asked Pat to tell you about some of the things that Donald Trump did, and he came up with two. And anything else, Pat, that makes you think Donald Trump would be a better president?
The border. The first day of Biden's inaugural, he cut off the COVID and all that other stuff that was restricted and opened up the floodgates at the border. You see it on TV. See now.
Pat? We got to go to a break. All right. Thank you for the call, man. We'll be right back.
See, Pat's awesome.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people.
It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 58. Westerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight. Lows level off around 40. Cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 54. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Dry with temperatures well below average Sunday and Monday and highs in the low 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 48.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Hey.
Three. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. I was feeling so bad. Just what I had. Doctor,
doctor. You and me.
Doctor. He said, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You and me. All I really need.
Good luck.
Now give me that.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Friday means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And hey, Cassandra, how you doing?
Hi, Earl. Hi, Sandy. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you.
Thanks, thanks. I just have a question for both you and Sandy. I would just like to know, Biden, he is in trouble. Whether you all want to admit it or not, there is some unhappiness with the way he is running the administration. And number one, I would like to get your assessment on Dr. Cornel West and RFK Jr. both deciding to run as independents. The two of them will draw away voters or likely voters who would possibly vote from the Democratic Party. I am concerned about that. Now, in regards to immigration, I agree with CJ, but for very different reasons. I have been watching the fallout over the refugees in both Chicago and in New York. And Sandy, I would just like for you to answer this question. Why should New York citizens have to receive fewer services for refugees? From my understanding, New York City, they're going to have to cut within the next year 15% of their budget, 5% this month, another 5% in the spring, and possibly in the summer of next year. Those resources, and I understand the point of those who oppose asylum seekers, that taxpaying money should be spent on the communities, especially under-resourced communities. Why should under-resourced communities tax dollars pay for non-citizens? And I will just end it there. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much for the call.
Well, I think starting with the last question, it was questioned to me from Cassandra about why should cities be bearing this burden. I agree with the question, and I agree with the notion that the way immigration is being handled pursuant to the laws of the United States isn't working, all right? And that's the result of the failure of the bipartisan Congress to be able to pass laws that would cause it to work, all right? We have asylum laws and principles in place, and the asylum law is sort of premised on, that's the expression of the welcoming to the United States of the oppressed from all over the world, right? So we open our doors for asylum to the oppressed, as written at the Statue of Liberty and at the island through which all immigrants come in New York City. But we need to get our arms around the law and figure out how to handle it. But until we get our arms around the law, until Congress acts, we're left with the potential for chaotic reactions. And so is this the Biden administration problem? Well, to be honest with you, I think it's a problem that's at least 23 years old in terms of Congress being aware of the problem and not getting anything done to deal with it. So I would lay the burden of this problem at the feet of Washington. Donald Trump's main solution to it was twofold. It was the wall, which is a physical presence, but it doesn't solve any of the policy issues that I've talked about. And also it was the COVID-19 based emergency order, which has expired along with the emergency from COVID-19. And so, you know, we still are left with an empty cabinet or an empty chest of policy with respect to immigration and to solve the problem.
You know, Cassandra, and I would add, I agree with Sandy wholeheartedly. You know, the people being here is a symptom of, again, the fact that the government has not done its due diligence to prevent them from coming.
Well, incidentally, just to add on that, the Southern Hemisphere could be the focus of much greater attention from the United States, because most of what people identify as the immigration problem relates to immigration from the Southern Hemisphere. And America has done a terrible job of foreign policy and foreign aid associated with the countries from which that flow is coming, Honduras and others.
We've had some involvement in those nations in a negative way. We've kind of helped create the movement that's happening. And I'd also say this, Cassandra, you know, yeah, there are a lot of people who are upset at Biden's policies, you know, but to say, okay, I'm upset at Biden's policies, I'm going to put a lunatic and a dangerous man in place because I'm upset with Biden's policies, to me, that outweighs whatever the policies are that Joe Biden is doing. The fact that we have a man that's unhinged and dangerous is all get up, Sandy. And we say, I think we'll rule the day. Well, I'm sure we'd rule the day that we ever put Donald Trump back in the White House.
Well, and I think the policies that people, if you look at polls, the things that people are reacting to that have happened during the Biden administration that they find most upsetting, the two of them are
the economy.
The economy, interest fly up, which is the result of dealing with inflation, which has been contributed to by prior policy.
Yeah, and global inflation.
And global inflation as well as prices,
right?
You know, price of gas and food. And those things are the ones that touch everybody and can be pointed at. And the extent to which the current administration of the fault lies at their feet is rather limited. But we should understand that the prosperity that we're experiencing in America is also the result of those policies. And that the policies that led to that prosperity, to the extent that there is a contribution to inflation, it's the policies that were designed to continue in this country prosperity and to avoid recession. The problem of a recession to these people who are complaining about the cost of gas and food would be far greater, okay? The price, the cost of recession in this economy to the people, Tom, Dick, and Mary, would be very substantial. So, you know, we've avoided recession. We've had inflation. Inflation has been a world problem, not just an American problem.
All right, we got to go to the break. So Cindy and Don, we'll come right back to you right away on the other side. 844-967-2789. Be right back. You know.
folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.